When it comes to weight management, we tend to focus on what we eat, but Noom's approach puts the focus on why we eat. That's a game changer. Noom uses science and personalization to help you manage your weight for the long term. Their psychology-based approach helps build better habits and behaviors that are easier to maintain. The best part? You decide how Noom fits into your life, not the other way around. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com to sign up today.
Before we get started with this episode of Bench with Bubba, I wanted to talk to you about RotoBaller.com. Win big in 2022 with RotoBaller.com's MLB and DFS Premium Pass, which includes 15 exclusive lineup tools, daily DFS cheat sheets, and our new Team Sync platform. Use RotoBaller's exclusive hitter projections, pitching planners, DFS value plays, research stations, lineup optimizer, and more to help you win big. For a limited time, get your MLB Premium Pass for an extra 10% off with your discount code Bubba, B-U-B-B-A. Just visit rotoballer.com, use promo code Bubba, B-U-B-B-A for 10% off the Premium Pass for the MLB season, and get started to rotoballing like a boss. And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Benched with Bubba, episode 482. Going to recap your week 12 fab action, talk about some recent news and more as we do on a weekly basis for your fantasy baseball needs. First off, you can check me out on Twitter at BDintric. If you give the podcast a rate and review on iTunes or Spotify, I truly would appreciate it. But more importantly, I have a special guest today, a returning guest of the show, good friend of the show. Great individual I got to meet at First Pitch Arizona, and just an all-around good guy. You can find his work over at NBC Sports Edge, you know, SK Playbook, Bases Loaded Podcast, because he puts up with Kerwin, because I said he's a nice guy. That's what he does. He's on Twitter at @Roto_Nino. Jorge Montanez, how we doing, my friend?
I'm doing great, man. Thanks for inviting me on tonight. Always enjoy talking with you. And yeah, man, it was nice meeting you, hanging out in Arizona for a bit. Looking forward to doing it again this year. Kerlin and I, we kind of balance each other out. You know, Kerlin, he's a lot, and I'm much more low key. So yeah, we kind of balance each other out there.
You definitely are the yin and the yang to each other. That is 100% correct. Before we dig in on the news and the fab and whatnot, let everybody know what you got going on, because I know you're a busy guy with NBC Sports Edge and everything else.
Yeah, I got a lot going on right now. Just went through a move this month, so it's crazy. You don't realize how much stuff you have until you actually move.
That's the truth.
So yeah, I've been real busy, but yeah, just still getting stuff done over on NBC Sports Edge. Every Monday morning, I have my 5x5 finds article out, and there I just kind of highlight some waiver wire targets for 5x5 category leagues and stuff. So. Check that out Monday mornings, and then I maintain like the bullpen reports and stuff like that. So yeah, I haven't recorded with Mike in a while, just been really busy, but hope to get back on there soon too.
No doubt about it. Everyone's got stuff going on, but it's always fun to hear you two chat it up, so looking forward to that. Let's get into some recent news. Not as much as usual, thank goodness, or I just ignored a lot of it because it's been bad lately with injuries. And we'll start off with a positive note here. The Pittsburgh Pirates are worth watching right now, Jorge. O'Neill Cruz finally got the call, and he's been nothing short of what we'd expect already, I would say, maybe even better than we would expect. A couple hits in his debut, just lighting the world on fire in the StatCast world. Already got a stolen base on Tuesday night, just doing all the things we'd hope for. What's your thoughts on O'Neill Cruz? Like, were you aggressive on him in Fab? Would you be aggressive on him in Fab if he's still available? This is going to be a fun little run for him.
Yeah, I would be for sure. If I had any fab left at this point. I went aggressive early on this season with a couple guys like Alec Thomas, who's been pretty solid. A couple guys like that. But O'Neill Cruz, I mean, if you got the fab and he's out there for sure. I mean, you look at this guy. I mean, he has all the tools to just be a stud down the stretch here. Like you said, the first time in a while, I actually checked to see when the Pirates are playing today on the schedule. So I could check that out. And yeah, should be really fun to watch him. I mean, you know, looking at the AAA numbers are a little underwhelming as far as like the surface, like a slash line, but I mean, 9 homers, 11 steals. And really, I mean, we've seen him just the quality of contact this guy makes. I mean, yeah, the big question here is going to be like his hit tool, where that strikeout rate's going to land. But I mean, how hard he hits the ball. I mean, that's going to mask a lot of deficiencies, at least early on, until the league gets a book on him. So, I mean, can he come up and do maybe like, you know, we've seen like Fernando Tatis come up and his rookie year and hit, you know, 20 homers and double digit steals, even with the 30% strikeout rate. We saw Keston Hira kind of come up and do that until the league figured out he couldn't hit a high fastball. But I think the potential is there really for him to be one of those league winners down the stretch.
Yeah, I'm just happy I know it's only 2 games, a lot could happen, but it's just fun to see, like, screw you, Pirates. You had all these excuses not to bring him up, and all he's done is light the world on fire since he's been here. Like, even defensively, he's throwing BBs from short to first. Like, he just looks so good out there. And I hope it continues. It wasn't like a couple game thing and he just disappears, but it's fun to see that happen for a team that just kind of tried to play the game to save a few dollars, and I hope it burns them in a big way, but we'll see. They got Jack Sawinski up through at 3 homers off our Giants over the weekend. He's actually been pretty serviceable in deeper leagues. Like, they got something brewing, but you're just waiting for him to screw it up somehow. But it's fun to watch. So we'll see how that one plays out with Cruz and company in Pittsburgh. The Rays, though, Manny Margot and Kevin Kiermaier both go to the IL with lower body injuries. Margot's expected, the word from Cash, going to miss a lot of time, is what he said. That's never good. Kevin Kiermaier's going to be out for a bit as well. Josh Lowe got recalled. You know, people like Vlad and company are very excited about that. What's your thoughts on this Rays outfield situation?
Yeah, I mean, I imagine, you know, so Josh Lowe had his first little taste in the majors earlier this year. I mean, he was pretty much playing every day, even against lefties. I imagine that's going to continue here. He was in the lineup today, batting 6 against the lefty. And then especially now with both Margot and Kiermaier out, you imagine he's going to get every opportunity here. I mean, I'm not so sure, you know, that he has a lot left to prove at the AAA level. I mean, he has pretty much, over 600 plate appearances there in AAA now, where he's really produced. He was hitting .299 there, and he's got, you know, the power speed potential. That's pretty much all he's done in since he arrived at AAA. So, I mean, it's really strikeout rate's a problem, really. But I won't say like he maybe doesn't have that O'Neill Cruz kind of potential, because I think, you know, Cruz definitely impacts the ball just differently. And but Lowe, I mean, yeah, he's definitely got some power speed there. It's just going to depend how he can hit.
Yeah, I'm intrigued. I know a lot of people broke the bank for him the first time around. Then they dropped him because he got sent back down, but he's back now. He might be available. People might have already grabbed him already. Who knows? But he's one worth speculating on. I agree with you, especially with, you know, Kiermaier out for a bit, Margot out for a while. It looks like Lowe should get some serious run unless he just completely hits a wall. Like, they're going to give him a shot here. You mentioned the power speed combo. It's just a swing and miss tool. Can he fix that or do just enough to make it work? Like, can he go Tyler O'Neill for us and like strike out 30% but still get some power speed? What can he do? And I think the Rays at least give him a run to do it. Because you made a great point there. The Rays are a massive platoon team, but the fact they let him play versus lefties pretty regularly is a big deal. So that's definitely something to monitor going forward, and definitely worth taking a chance on in your deeper leagues, if not even a 12-teamer, I'd say, going forward. Before we get to the next point here, we have a visitor in the chat. Mike Curlin says, how dare you cheat on me, Jorge? Hey, Jorge said nice things about you, okay? So you better be nice, Curlin. Go away. That's good old Mikey for you. He can't even get enough. He has to try to take the limelight, and he's not even on the show. This is what Mike Curlin does. Yoan Moncada, it's been a rough season, to say the least, for Yoan Moncada. And now he's back on the injured list with the hamstring injury flaring up again. So it's just it was lingering. It's back, bad enough to go on the DIL. Given Jake Berger's producing pretty well, so might give him a reason to, hey, go clear your mind, Moncada. Lots of things to think about there. So what's your thoughts on this going forward? I guess it's twofold. what are you doing with Moncada? Like, I've dropped him in places. And then what's your thoughts on Jake Berger replacing Moncada?
Yeah, man, it's unfortunate with Moncada. I mean, I really I was one to give him a pass after 2020 with the whole COVID stuff, and then really just underwhelmed last year. And now, you know, it seems he's kind of these recurring like soft tissue injuries. You know, they keep coming up with him, and yeah, just given how he's performed so far this year and the injury, I mean. Yeah, I could definitely understand dropping him. He almost suckered me back in this draft season talking about 30 steals, but yeah, doesn't look like that's happening. So yeah, unfortunately, I think I'm with you as far as him being a drop even in 12 teamers. And then Jake Berger, I mean, yeah, he's done some good things here. I mean, I think Berger is going to be pretty much like your typical streaky, you know, power hitter. But yeah, definitely if you need some power, I mean, I'd definitely be going after Berger, especially just given the third base landscape. He's pretty much been playing every day at third base. Now with Tim Anderson back, I could see, Danny Mendick getting some time at third with Berger moving over to DH. But I think for the most part, he should be in the lineup and maybe like at least five games a week.
Yeah, and he mashes. I grabbed him a few weeks ago for cheap. It hasn't been as great as it was there for a while, but I still like what the hit tool he brings to the table. So, especially at a third base position, that's just so nasty. So, I'm a fan of what Berger can offer. And, yeah, Moncada, I'm with you. I was banging the drum after the COVID, like, hey, look, he's going to be fine, this and that, and it just has not panned out. He's still super young, so he might figure it out in the next couple of years, but it's looking like this might be one that just didn't materialize, which is a shame to see. Let's go to Milwaukee with the Aaron Ashby situation. When I recorded last Thursday with Bloomfield, this happened like an hour before we recorded, so we didn't have any information on it. He just left with left forearm inflammation, and that's what they're still calling it. But all the MRIs came back clean. That night they even said, oh, he'll make his next start. Well, he's on the IL because it's a little worse than they thought, but still not bad at all, they say. I'm still concerned. Don't know about you. But he said he felt it when he was trying to throw a breaking ball. That doesn't make me feel overwhelming. So what's your thoughts on this Aaron Ashby deal? Because he's great. Everybody had him in fantasy. And I just have a hard time believing it's just no big deal.
Yeah, no, I hear you. I mean, it's just we've seen this too many times now. We've seen it too many times where, forearm inflammation, where, you know, it ends up turning into a long-term thing. And you know, hopefully that's not the case here. I want to think that maybe the cut down for the pitcher limits on the team rosters might have had something to do with it. I mean, I'd like to think that. I mean, yeah, you just never know. I mean, he was doing some good things. You know, had over 60% ground ball rate. He was getting strikeouts. Definitely looked like, you know, he belonged there in the starting rotation. And maybe down the stretch, as he continued to develop there and stuff, that he would be really one of these really useful pitchers for us in the second half. But yeah, hopefully that injury is not, you know, too serious. And yeah, I mean, all that we're hearing right now is that he'll be ready to come back, but you just never know with these things. And it's just a story that we've heard a lot, too many times.
Yeah, too many times. And so it's definitely something to monitor. The Brewers already lost Freddy Peralta for a long time. Woodruff looks to be coming back, but his injury is so freaky that it sounds like it can pop up at any moment. So that's one to keep an eye on. Eric Lauer is starting to fall back to Eric Lauer mode. They looked like a juggernaut at one point. Now it's going to be interesting. So watch Aaron Ashby very, very closely. Another one that's a shame is Mookie Betts, who was looking like he's going to set the record for runs scored potentially in a season. He was just doing everything. And for you and I, that stinks, obviously. But for fantasy, it's awesome. And Betts is just a great ball player, so it's fun to watch. But cracked ribs. And this isn't good, because for those that follow Derek Rhodes, who's a very, very good injury guy on Twitter, he was putting like the kind of average timetables and stuff for similar injuries. And it's almost like a two-month deal, at least. Like, it was not looking pretty. Some really good NFBC players have debated dropping him. I think that's still a little rushed right now. I'd still wait a little bit there. But what's your thoughts on this deal? Because it's bad enough that the Dodgers are already rumored to be looking to trade for a right fielder right now. That's how bad it is to me.
Yeah. I know they picked up Trace Thompson, and then they called up Zach McKinstry. So, you know, you'd hope that that's just kind of a stopgap. Dave Roberts and Mookie himself they're kind of optimistic that he'll be back in 2 weeks, but you just never know, I guess. And it would make a lot of sense. You know, if you see them going after a right fielder, then the writing's kind of on the wall there that it's going to be a little bit long term. But yeah, I wouldn't rush to drop him right now at all. Like you said, he's been awesome. This was kind of, yeah, like a freak thing. See, I was kind of scared off by the injury concerns coming into the year. And man, I've been regretting that. And this is just like, like you said, it sucks because I mean, Mookie has been one of my favorite players to watch, period. So it always sucks to see a guy go down, but yeah, hopefully they're optimistic and hopefully he can come back soon.
Yeah. That's why I always joke around about it, because I say it all the time is, it stinks because you want to like hate the Dodgers, but there's so many guys you could like on the Dodgers for like from baseball senses. It was one thing when he's like the old school, now like, you know, Betts and Bueller and like Kershaw even has like something about him now. Like there's all these guys, it's just like they're good ball players. It's hard to like hate them. And
makes me feel gross sometimes.
Yeah, it does. It really does. Because you're like, I'm supposed to, if you're in blue and white, like we're not going to get along. Like this is how, but it's tough. It's very tough. So yeah, hopefully Betts is fine. I'm with you. And the only share I have of him is that FPAS draft we did, because that was before all the injury news came out. I was with you. Like when I started hearing the news, I'm like, yeah, he's going to go down the board for me. And then by then I never got him. So I was regretting it as well in a big, big way. So we'll see how that one pans out. Last bit of news here, Frank Schwindel. He was on a bit of a heater there. So most of the Cubs were, but he slowed down like most of the Cubs are. And he's on the IL with a lower back strain, and back strains are never fun. So is it just time to cut bait with Schwindel and move on?
Yeah. Right now, yeah. I think it's time to cut bait and move on from Schwindel. I think they have, Alfonso Rivas playing first base right now, but he's not really doing much, anything really interesting there. So yeah, I would cut bait and move on.
Yep, I'm with you there. All right, let's get into some fab of the week. We'll go over like we usually do in FBC OCs for the recent week's fab, go over the top X amount of players. We'll talk for about a half hour or so on the most added players in each league and kind of how we think about what they bring to the table. Was it worth adding? So on and so forth. Maybe give some intakes on what we did in the week of fab. But it was one of those weeks, Jorge, I don't know about you, and you said you spent a lot of your fab money already this year. It feels like it wasn't like a major overpowering week. Maybe it was Father's Day weekend. But even just looking at the player movement page, there's only one player added in over 100 leagues. Usually there's a lot of players over 100 leagues. So it was like, I think the main targets just were taken already is what it feels like. Before we get into the guys, I guess, how has FAB been going for you? Besides, you said spending like on Alec Thomas and a few others, how has the FAB process been going for you this year?
Yeah, not too bad. Like I said, I've been pretty aggressive early on, but like I think like last week I was able to pick up John Gray in a 12 teamer, and yeah, he's been coming around. Early on, I was really I kind of bought in right away to Kyle Wright. Was able to pick him up. He's been awesome. Spencer Strider was another one. He unfortunately took some hits today.
Didn't see that one coming.
Yeah,
not the way the Giants have been hitting. I was shocked.
That one's a high scoring game right now too. I'm not sure if it's over yet, but
it's 9-8 in the bottom of the eighth right now.
Yeah. So that one definitely hurts the Strider today, but otherwise he's been awesome. Thomas and Kirby were two others that I were really aggressive on that weekend. So far it's worked out a bit. Other than that, just being pretty aggressive early on. Right now I'm pretty much going forward just trying to manage injuries. I have a lot of pitcher injuries right now, so I haven't even been able to go after any big guys. So like last week I got John Gray in one league, but otherwise I've been getting like some middle relievers here and there. Eli Morgan was one I picked up, I think, just for like a buck, just to throw in a pitcher spot because I had all my guys injured.
It's wild right now. That's why I was kind of joking at the beginning with our recent news. Like it wasn't as long as usual. I've had some episodes where it's just like, God, so many injuries. This is ridiculous right now. Are you usually aggressive early on, or is that just kind of how this season went? Because honestly, Thomas and Kirby were two really good targets. Like I'm usually a very, cautious bidder. Like I was in on Alec Thomas and I was in on Kirby. I didn't get Kirby. I got Thomas in a few places. So like there's some I really like and there's some like I don't understand. But are you usually a pretty aggressive bidder?
Fads come and go, and nowhere more than in the world of weight loss. That's why Noom has created weight management programs that are made to last. Noom uses science and personalization so you can manage your weight for the long term. Their psychology-based approach helps you build better habits and behaviors that are easier to maintain. And they help you understand the science behind your eating choices and why you have those cravings. Noom's personalized courses are easy to follow and will help grow your confidence with tools you can put into practice on day one. The best part? You decide how Noom fits into your life, not the other way around. And based on a sample of 4,272 Noomers, 98% say Noom helps change their habits and behaviors for good. So stop chasing health trends and join the millions who have lost weight with Noom. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com to sign up for your trial today.
Yeah, I usually am pretty aggressive early on, but sometimes it works, and sometimes I regret it later on down the line because I'm like, oh man, when injuries start piling up in the summer, that's when you're like, oh, wish I had just a few extra bucks here and there.
On the bright side, is there's so much fantasy football going on right now. Pretty soon, people are going to be really cheap to acquire, so don't you worry about that. That is coming around the corner. All right, let's get into some players. I mentioned there was one player in the OCs added in over 100 leagues, and that was one Kendall Graveman, added in 170 OC leagues. It's pretty much almost all of them. A max bid of 271. I always love there's like dollar winners in OCs. People on Monday night that spent especially 271 were not happy at all to watch Joe Kelly get the save chance for the White Sox. He did give up two runs. He did a Joe Kelly thing. So yeah. That's the optimistic part if you have Kendall Graveman. But what's your thoughts on this? Because I thought Graveman was the guy. I was not nearly that aggressive. But what are you thinking about the addition of Kendall Graveman and the situation in Chicago?
Yeah, wow. Yeah, that's definitely too aggressive there for Graveman. But looking at that Monday game, it looks like he was used in the eighth inning with Vlad and Teoscar up. So I mean, if that's how it's gonna go, you know, you just kind of using him with the toughest part of the lineup coming up, and if that's gonna be the eighth inning with Joe Kelly there now that he's back in the mix for the saves, I mean, then, you know, maybe the two runs that Kelly gave up, you know, maybe that secures Graveman a little bit more in the ninth inning, but we'll have to see there. I would still trust Graveman to be the guy for the most part. I think just looking at the context of Monday's game with Vlad and Teoscar up, I think more often than not, you'll see Graveman there in the ninth while Hendricks is out. But yeah, I don't blame La Russa there for going to Graveman in the eighth with those matchups.
Yep. It seemed like he got the high leverage role, which is definitely a good thing there. So there is optimism between that, watching Kelly do Kelly things. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be shocked. I think the White Sox are actually winning 2-0 when we started recording. So we might have a new answer tonight. We'll see how it goes. But yeah, it's always fun to see who is super aggressive. Like I've always told like Toby and stuff, I'm like, I'd love to be able to know who it was and ask them what made you be so, just out of curiosity. Cause like to each their own. There's no perfect recipe for fab, but I just wanted to like, were you like that desperate for saves or what was it that made you go to save? I'm just really curious on the thought process and trying to learn more about fab bidding basically. So would be fun to know. The second most acquired player did not pan out well either. Anthony DeSclafani was added in 86 leagues, as high as $89. He had a two-step coming off the IL this week, and his rehab starts weren't great either, but his pitch count was getting up. He lasted three innings against the Braves, gave up five runs, two home runs, only struck out three. It was not good, Jorge, and it's been an overall rocky start to the season for him. It hasn't been much. He's been hurt a lot, but it's been rocky, to say the least. So, Disco, were you in on him this week? Like, I'll be honest, I had like $8 or $9 bids on him. I wasn't like super aggressive. I was like, okay, if I got him, I got him. But how are you approaching Disco this week?
I did put in some bids for Disco. I don't think I would have started him though. Just, I mean, like you said, the rehab outings weren't all that good. He had given up some runs before getting injured. It just, I think he's going to be useful, but I think you got to give him some time. You consider just how much time he had to miss with that ankle, the late start to spring training, I think might have had a factor. And then, we're looking at maybe 20 innings of work so far from him this year. I think you got to give it some time, but I did go after him. I don't think I would have started him this year, even with the two-step just coming off the injury right away. But I think we, you know, from what we've seen last year, I'd give him some time to settle in, give it a few weeks, and I think he'll be useful down the stretch.
Yeah, these Giants pitchers, you know, they've all had their hiccups, but they're going to be serviceable. Like Cobb's still going to be fine. Wood's going to have his moments. Rodon, he had his hiccup. He's back to being Rodon. It's they're good pitchers with good coaching. So I don't see long-term issues with these guys, but you never know. Things happen. Next up, a guy that I was aggressive on. I was surprised I was aggressive enough because I didn't think I would be bidding that much, but I won Alex Kirilloff in a lot of places. He was added in 79 leagues, as high as 121. I was not close to that. And this is where it's fun. All those other guys, $1 bids, the lowest bid on Kirilloff was $3. So there was actually aggressive, kind of aggressive people on Alex Kirilloff. He had two hits on Tuesday night, including a two-run double. So that's big. And he was mashing in AAA, like destroying baseballs in AAA before he got recalled. So what's your thoughts on Kirilloff? Is it like he was mashing last year before his wrist injury? Like, so we know what the kid can do. Is it time to just let him go and hopefully he stays healthy?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, yeah, Kirilloff was one that I was really going after this weekend as well. He's someone that I drafted and yeah, I mean, the injury kind of burned me there, but I'm hoping that he can come through here heading into the second half. And like you said, absolutely destroy AAA pitching. You got to think that that wrist is okay now. I think he hit his today's double was his third double since coming back. And I don't think he even had an extra base hit but before he got hurt. So, I mean, that's a good sign for sure. So, you know, he wasn't right. Even the strikeout rate was way up before he went on the injured list. So I think definitely what he's done, between his rehab assignment and what he's done in these few games, with him back so far, I think, it's a really good sign. And yeah, I would have been very, very aggressive on him this last weekend. And then hoping that, he flashed that potential last year and you know, the average wasn't great, but the power was there and you just saw like he was primed for a breakout. You look at the underlying numbers, the hard hit rate, the strikeout rate was decent. And you just saw the breakout was written all over him. And so you just hope that he's over that wrist injury and he could really come through for us down the stretch.
Yeah. Last year, that barrel rate and that hard hit rate was just awesome before that wrist injury. Like you said, you could feel like this breakout coming, and it just the injury occurred, it didn't happen, and the wrist injuries take a while to get back from. So hopefully we get to see that here in the second half. I'm 100% with you on that one. CJ Abrams, people saw the Manny Machado injury, they saw the delay on Fernando Tatis, and they're like, we're gonna speculate on CJ Abrams. Well, as far as I'm aware, unless something's happened in the last couple hours, CJ Abrams still in AAA. We'll see, it could be up any day. But he was added in 78 leagues, as high as $112 for a guy that's not even in the bigs yet. That's bold. But he does have 7 home runs, 10 stolen bases in AAA this year, with a .314 average. That's over 30 games. He's doing great there. Didn't do so great in his little time in the bigs, but maybe, you know, a second chance is what he needs. Were you in on a guy like CJ Abrams this week, or what are your expectations for CJ Abrams? Because some people think the time is now.
Yeah. Yeah, I think they did call him up. I think he was might have played Monday. So I think he was called up. I'm not sure if they sent him back down. He's someone that I wasn't.
They recalled him yesterday. They called him up yesterday. You are correct.
Okay. Yeah. So he's up, but yeah, I'm not sure. He's. The kid's 21 years old, doesn't have a whole lot of time, in the minors. This is kind of a, you know, desperation move right now for the Padres, which, I mean, hey, the Padres have been doing good. They're the ones leading the division right now. The Manny Machado injury, of course, is just so unfortunate. Love what he's done. But Abrams, no, I think I would really temper my expectations with Abrams. I think he needs a little bit more seasoning, I think, really. Just doesn't have the experience quite yet.
And that was my thing, because, like, he had the good spring and he made the team, but I just had his page up. Like, last year, I think he got as high as AA, I think is what it was. Let me go back to his page real quick. So
it was only, 42 games in AA.
And so that's a jump. Like, people think that's a big, big jump to make that happen. So it'll be interesting to see where he comes here. Machado won't be out for too long, and they'll kind of have to play that one as it is. Like, Kim's been okay, not bad. You got Profar playing well, Cronenworth's playing well, Voit starting to hit. Like you mentioned, they're in first place. They're playing good baseball right now. So where does Abrams fit in? Because you don't want to call him up just to sit him or platoon him. So it'll be very interesting to see how that plays out in San Diego. Next up, we have Ezekiel Duran of the Texas Rangers, added in 77 leagues, as high as $82, as low as one. Duran did not play on Tuesday night, but he's hitting .291 since he's got called up, with two homers and two stolen bases. I love what we're seeing from him so far. And I was like digging in on him last week. I wrote him up for either a Fantasy Pros or a Fantrax article or something. And I was really excited to see what he had. And since then, at the back end of last week and even tonight, he has been platooned, which was not what he was doing early on. So I am curious what the Rangers are going to do going forward. That may be something for Mike Kirlin to figure out with his lineup stuff. But what's your thoughts on Duran? Because I know some very smart NFBC players were in on him this week.
Yeah, he's someone I've kind of paid attention to, like in a dynasty context the last few years. He was coming up with the Yankee system, and the power has always been legit. And he'll steal double-digit bases in the minor leagues. And really, it was the hit tool, lots of strikeouts there. But he's, yeah, definitely flashed some potential here so far in his time with those two homers, two steals. He just hasn't really not showing very good plate discipline. And the ground ball rate is up, 62% ground ball rate. But he's never really been a ground ball hitter in the minor leagues, always leaning more towards those fly balls, hitting for that power. But yeah, I'm not really sure. I think this one is going to be, anytime you see a guy with power potential coming up at third base, you know, we mentioned Jake Berger earlier, just given the landscape of the third base position, and Duran could steal a few bases too. So that's even, you know, the amount of guys that could steal some bags at third base, you know, there's only a couple of them. So he's definitely interesting. I just think he's going to be a bit volatile, and especially if they're going to platoon him.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I didn't think they were going to, and maybe it's just kind of a blip on the radar, and hopefully they don't, because I love the power-speed combo, but it always hurts with the platoon situation. You need those at-bats. It's a very, very important thing that's been developed by smart people that have proven the point time and time again that you need those at-bats. And speaking of third basemen with speed, I just have to sidetrack. Did you grab any shares of John Birdie a few weeks ago?
I did not.
That dude is unbelievable. Like, I'm mad at myself. Yeah. I didn't get him in more places. I got him in like maybe half of my teams. I'm just mad at myself now. Like, it's crazy how good he is. It's insane.
Yeah, he's been running wild.
Yeah, it's been fun to watch. Fun to watch. What else is fun to watch is Riley Green. We said the Pirates are becoming watchable. The Tigers kind of are too. And Riley Green's a big reason why. He's got two more hits on Tuesday night. That gives him five hits, I believe, in his first three games since getting called up. He was supposed to start the season with the team, but an injury derailed that. So he started a little rehab in the minors and 15 minor league games, homer, three stolen bases. He's ready to rock and roll. This kid's legit. I didn't get him anywhere because I didn't spend the money that was required. But then looking at this, he went as high as 375, as low as 44. So everybody was in on him, at least in every league, for something. What's your thoughts on Riley Green? Because he looks, again, small sample, looks like the real deal.
No, yeah, I agree 100%. He had an absolute monster season in the minors last year, and he looked like he was going to carry that over, had a really good spring. I was ready to watch him and, you know, start the season with the Tigers. And unfortunately with that, so unfortunate with that injury. But yeah, he does look like the real deal. And like you said, off to a good start so far with those two hits today. Yeah, he's someone that I think I grabbed in like a couple DCs. So I do have some Riley Green out there, but wasn't able to be aggressive with him these last couple of weeks. He's someone that, like, maybe you've seen him like getting scooped up the last couple of weeks as he's been on his rehab assignment. But I wish I had more Riley Green.
Yeah, I kept telling myself to add him and stash him, and I needed other pieces and kept grabbing other pieces, and now I'm mad at myself. Very mad at myself for this, but that's what we do. We get mad at ourselves for the things we don't do, not the good things we do. So, Riley Green's one of those guys. I like our Alec Thomas. Me and you both got Alec Thomas shares, but it's like, I think I'd rather have Riley Green. I think I would. So this is going to sting, but those different times of the season, and that's how things go. Next up, Sir Anthony Dominguez picked up in 69 leagues, as high as 228. Someone was more desperate than they were for Kendall Graveman was 271, and as low as $3. And similar, which is very surprising, you had, you know, Graveman not get the save in the first outing. Well, Dominguez got a save on the 18th, and he's got some holds. Brad Hand's gotten some saves. This seems like a committee, potentially, in Philadelphia. But everybody was in on Sir Anthony this week, not so much on Brad Hand. Brad Hand got picked up in a few. We'll get to him in a couple minutes here. But what's your thoughts on Sir Anthony Dominguez? If you want, we'll just throw Brad Hand in now. What's your thoughts on the Philly situation?
Yeah, I've been a big fan of Sir Anthony Dominguez. What he's doing is awesome. But yeah, I mean, I think it's just one of those situations where it's going to be a committee. I think the who's coming up, you know, the matchups are going to dictate a lot of that. So far, Brad Hand has gotten the two, you know, traditional save opportunities. He did blow the save, that second save where I think Sir Anthony got the save in the 10th. So you might see Brad Hand kind of, you know, a little bit more in that traditional ninth inning, depending on those matchups. But I mean, Sir Anthony, the skills are legit. Brad Hand, he's been kind of been able to get by, but the underlying numbers don't look very, very pretty for him, at all. You know, they're actually look pretty similar to Knebel, who, you know, was relegated to middle relief. So we'll see how much longer, Hand can sustain, that role out there. But, I wouldn't be surprised to see Sir Anthony take over, as the season progresses.
I hope he does. Cause like you said, you were a fan of his. I remember it was like 2 years ago, I think he had a run at the closer's role. And I was all aboard that train. Like, the dude's got nasty stuff. So hopefully he can make it work for sure. And for those keeping track at home, Brad Hand was added in 68 leagues, as high as $91, as low as $1. Also added in 68 leagues was Zach Davies, as high as 36, as low as $1. Zach had a two-step this week. Gave it 4 runs in 6 innings against the Padres last on Monday night. But, you know, he hasn't been great, but he's been very serviceable. A couple 7 innings with no runs, you know, he had quality starts, basically 3 runs or less for a while there. And more importantly is he's actually striking guys out of late, which is not the normal Zach Davies repertoire. I wasn't in on Zach Davies. I understood people wanting to grab Zach Davies. What's your thoughts? Like, is this real for Zach Davies, or is it like a good run that you just kind of ignore because it's Zach Davies?
Yeah, no, he's not someone that I was really in on either. Like you said, strikeouts were up recently. Over the last like 3 starts before, he had like 6 strikeouts and then 7 strikeouts in back-to-back outings. But someone like Davies, you know, these soft tossers, I think you're going to see, these ups and downs. It's going to be hard for guys like this to be consistent. There's going to be times where they get really lucky with you know, BABIP, and you know, they can toss 7 shutout innings. There's going to be other times where they just get hit hard, and you know, those strikeouts, I don't know how much that might have to do with the matchups there. And they came against Pittsburgh and then 2 starts against Cincinnati. That definitely helps. I think for me, Davies, I can definitely understand picking him up, but I think he's no more than a streamer.
Yeah. 100% with you on that one. So like, I get it. 2-step. It's hard for me to buy into what he's doing at this point in time. A guy that I was in on, and because I knew I got him for cheaper bids than other players, was Brendan Donovan. Added in 64 leagues, as high as 71, as low as $1. Multi-position eligibility through the roof, which is great. Great batting average assets. He's hitting .315 this year. 1 homer, 2 stolen bases. Not going to give you a ton of power. Like, throughout the minors, he's a 5 or 6 home run guy. Got some steals for you, but pretty much always hitting for average, and he's going to score a ton of runs in that very good Cardinals offense right now. So that was one of the things I was looking for. You get batting average, you get runs, maybe throw him the occasional home run and stolen base in there, and that flexibility. Because you mentioned earlier, all these injuries right now, a player like that stands out so much more to me. It could all fall up short. He's a young kid. Maybe something changes, but for now, I'm going to ride that wave. What's your thoughts on Brendan Donovan so far? Like, everyone liked Juan Yepes. Everyone liked Nolan Gorman, where Donovan's kind of been the rookie to have in St. Louis.
Yep. Yeah, I'm with you right now. In a lot of spots, I'm looking for playing time, looking to manage these injuries. And Donovan's been in the lineup every day. He's been, you know, moving all around the diamond, has games at second, outfield, third, short, first. I mean, he's been playing everywhere. And I think the hit tool is legit. I think the hit tool is definitely legit. So, I mean, as long as he can continue to get on base, he's going to score a ton of runs. Like you said, hitting in front of Goldie and Arenado. He's going to steal a few bags. Probably, you know, may get you, you know, 5-5 or so, something like that. He's doesn't have a ton of category juice, but he's going to have playing time. He's going to be able to plug him in multiple spots. And, I think provide a good solid average and score some runs. So, I could definitely see the appeal there with Donovan.
Yeah, no, he checked the boxes there. A guy we won't get to, but I was putting bids in on, in similar situations, Johnny VR, just for the fact he plays everywhere. And now with the injuries to Madrigal and company, he'll probably play a lot more. So that's another guy for those out there in deeper leagues. If you're looking for just multi, like just at bats with the potential to get you some stolen bases and stuff, VR is another guy to take a peek at. Next up, we have Jorge Alfaro for the ever revolving catcher's world slash outfield eligibility. Added in 62 leagues as high as $37. Jorge's playing well, hitting 280, five jacks, one stolen base. A lot of the power's come over the last few weeks. He's been very serviceable, but it is Jorge Alfaro. How is your catcher situation this year, and are you looking for guys like Alfaro to pick up?
Oh, yeah, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I was all in on Danny Jansen and MJ Melendez. Melendez has worked out. Jansen, too. I mean, when he's been out there, he's been mashing, man. He's been awesome when he's out there. It's just, man, he just can't stay on the field, unfortunately. But, yeah, so waiting for Jansen to come back, those two guys I was really all in on. So, yeah, Alfaro, really, I don't – like, looking into him a bit, you know, not a whole lot looks different. Like, he's always hit the ball hard, and he's always struck out a lot. The difference this year is a big difference in his ground ball rate. He's really lifted the ball. He 29% line drive rate right now. So, yeah, I think that's really kind of anchored that batting average where it's at, the 280 batting average, because he's still striking out 32% of the time. But yeah, he's just raised that launch angle and hitting more line drives. So yeah, he's been playing a lot there with the Padres too. So yeah, I definitely, like, if I need a second catcher somewhere, I'm definitely taking a look at Alfaro.
Yeah, I don't mind him at all. Christian Betancourt was another one that's been added in recent weeks to look at. There seems to be a catcher or two each week you can kind of take a chance at if you need to. Edward Olivares was added in 62 leagues. He's coming off the IL shortly, was leading off before he got hurt, so someone to keep an eye on in certain leagues. I wanted to ask you about Luis Gonzalez of our Giants. Added in 61 leagues, as high as $59, as low as $1. And Gonzalez is hitting .302 right now, even after going 0-for-5 on Tuesday night. With three home runs, seven stolen bases, and in a team that platoons a lot, he's finding his way in the lineup almost every night, Ori. Like, I wrote him up as a deeper league option in the outfield this week. I'm still worried because at any moment, Kapler can start platooning, because that's what Kapler does. But what's your thoughts on what we're seeing from Luis Gonzalez? Because when he came up the first time he hit, got sent down, injury brought him back, and he continues to hit the baseball. And, it, you know, going into the season, didn't feel like he was an option for the Giants, and here he is.
Right. Yeah. I mean, another guy that they've been able to get off off waivers and get some production out of. And he's just kind of doing a little bit of everything across the board. Right. I mean, three homers, seven steals, hitting for a good average. He's getting on base. He's been leading off against righties. So, yeah, I definitely like what Luis Gonzalez is doing. And I don't really see a whole lot to not buy into here. Like, I don't know if he's going to sustain 372 BABIP. That might come down a bit, but he's not striking out a ton. He's running. He's 7-for-9 on the bases. So, yeah, I guess things might get interesting when the Giants have to make a decision on, like, Lamont Wade when he's ready to come back. So that's going to be interesting. But I definitely like what Gonzalez is doing. And I think, he's someone who can provide a little solid production across the board there.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think he's definitely serviceable, especially deeper leagues. If you want to run with him while he's out there in like 12s, I don't hate it. It's not as appealing as some others, but I get it. So I'm intrigued with what they're doing with him and seeing where it goes forward. Were there any other players that you were in on this week we have not discussed? Like, Nick Lodolo is coming back soon, so people are stashing him. Johnny Cueto shocked the world, but I don't still buy that. Orlando Arcia is playing a ton for Ozzie Albies now. Was there anybody that you were looking at this week that we did not get to?
Yeah, Orlando Arcia was actually a good one. He's been – his bat to ball quality has been amazing in his time. He's just been hitting the ball hard. And that whole – like, that Atlanta offense has been they've been awesome. So Arcia was one. Gonzalez was another one that I was looking at. Not sure. Can't really think of any more off the top of my head, but yeah, definitely those were a couple guys.
Yeah, like I was saying, it wasn't like a massive week. And then just looking at the overall results for OCs, it wasn't like everyone was going crazy on certain deals. Like I grabbed Aaron Civale in a couple places for his two step, like for $7. Like it was cheap. Mm-hmm. Got Johnny VR for like $6. You know, it's like I was not breaking the bank anywhere except Kirilloff, but that was like $44. So I don't consider that breaking the bank. Like, so I pretty much most of the guys I think we talked about, like Civale would have been the only one we didn't talk about, mainly because he's coming back from the IL. I was willing to take the two step. I'm looking through my, I'm just scrolling through mine real quick. I got a couple disco shares for like $6. So that's not feeling great. But a lot of Brendan Donovan, a lot of Alex Kirilloff this past week, a lot of Civale this past week. But those were kind of where I was planting my flag. And most of the time, like I talk about, I'm pretty much a 12-team guy. I do have, obviously, Barf's 15 and TGFBI is 15. How are you doing in your Earth League? Was it Scarf that you guys have down there?
Yeah. We got a Scarf together down here in Southern California. I've been in first pretty much the whole season.
Humble brag. I've been in first, yes.
This is the league I've been doing best in here. So our league though has been picking it up. Scarf was down in the bottom for a long time, and our whole league together has kind of been picking it up. I think as a league of the 10 leagues, I think we're in third or fourth collectively right now. But I've been doing really good there actually. And I act like that was a build. That team build was one that I wasn't really going after in like a lot of my DCs and stuff. I think I got I started that league with Corbin Burns, Josh Hader, and Sandy Alcantara. So I went three pitchers.
Ooh, that'll lock and up then, your pitching staff for you. My goodness.
Yeah. And then I also that was the league I picked up Kyle Wright and Spencer Strider early on. Also got Alec Thomas and George Kirby, and then
it's making sense my first why you're two, in first place. Yeah.
Yeah. My first two hitters were Pete Alonso and Jazz Chisholm. So,
jeez Louise. Yeah. And you know, Jorge's a very humble, nice guy. But anybody that you talk to that's drafted with Jorge will tell you how miserable life is drafting with you. Because we've talked about, we've been in group chats during slow drafts, and it's like you don't want to be next to him. You don't. It's the worst. So it doesn't surprise me that it just came into fruition for you there. Because one thing it also I've noticed with you, and I don't like, I'm not like Zach Waxman that like studies everybody's profile of drafts and has a book on it. But just I've drafted enough with you. You know, certain guys do have a book, like hey, this is who I'm taking. Mm-hmm. You're very flexible. And that's what makes you even more annoying to draft with. Because like you like certain players, and like we might like certain players the same. And you're willing to jump. And that's what's funny. You will jump ADP to get your guys. And that's what sucks drafting next to you.
Yeah. I have guys that for me, I mean, drafting is just so much fun. Just putting the pieces together, putting that puzzle together and adjusting through the draft, you know, knowing where you can take which guys and where you can target certain categories and certain types of players. I love it. A lot of the guys that we draft with, you know, we're all sharp and we all, you know, have a lot of the info and stuff. And so that's often the case where we're drafting together, where it's like, man, we're just sniping each other left and right.
Yep, it's fun. That's why I we do most of them like the slow drafts online or whatever, but doing that one live in FPAS, even though it doesn't really count, it was just fun because we could all trash talk in the same room. And it was just like great. The snipes were live and in person. And that's what made it so much more fun. Instead of like a DM or something about it. So that was a very, very exciting as well. All right. We have a listener question for this evening. And it's from one Johnny L, Big John Stud, Mr. MLB Moving Averages himself. He has a question. What's the furthest behind in a league you've ever been in late June and still won? I can't tell if there's still time or if I'm being stubborn. Can you recall a time when you made a big comeback before?
Oh man, I want to say, you know, I haven't been playing rotisserie for all too long, maybe like 3 or 4 years now. I really got into head-to-head when I first like started playing fantasy. I've been, you know, maybe 6 years ago. But I think my biggest comeback has been like maybe middle of the pack, like eighth or ninth place. I've been able to come back and cash. I don't think I finished first, but I've been able to like finish like top three. From like eighth or ninth back. Other than that, don't think just personally, I don't think I've have a team where like I've been able to come back like being in like the bottom third of the league. At least talking about like 15 teamers.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think it's got to be like the 8th or 9th spots. Like I'm looking at a lot of my leagues I really, really care about. And I think I'm like in 6th place or better. And I'm like, okay, I still got shots. Like this is still doable. It's those ones where you see yourself like in 10th or 11th place. You're just like, this might be a little tough. So it's not impossible though. Cause I know people have said it many times. I've heard a lot of guys talk about it. Like Rob Silver, I think was like in 12th or 13th the year he won the overall. There's a handful of guys that have done that. You just got to grind. Like you got to get that O'Neill Cruz. You have to get like some of these, you have to get the John Birdie that goes and steals you 25 bases. Like you just have to hit the right spots. A lot of, as much as we like to say, we know a lot of stuff and do our work. A lot of it's luck. Like you just got to get the right thing to fall into place. So I wouldn't say it's impossible. Let's put it that way. So don't get down, John. Don't get down. Some people don't even look at the standings yet. So you're okay. You're good. But yeah, so you're a good big John Stud. I wouldn't worry about it too much. But all right, Jorge, we're going to wrap things up there. Always fun, my friend. Before we head on out of here, once again, let everybody know what you got going on at NBC Sports Edge and everything else.
Yeah, man, always a good time and looking forward to hanging out again in Arizona. But yeah, you could catch my stuff over on NBC Sports Edge every Monday. Take a look for those 5x5 finds, and then I'll be hoping to get back on with Mike shortly here on Back on Bases Loaded Pod in the next couple of weeks.
That'd be fun. Good to hear you guys on the mic again. And I know we'll be chatting in the near future. Looking forward to FPAS as well. It'll be tons and tons of fun. Make sure you guys all check out Jorge on Twitter at @Roto_Nino. Always great follow. Always great information. Always a great guy. George, thanks for joining me, my friend. All right, everybody. This was Bench with Bubba, episode 482. Catch you guys later.
Hey, Drew Scott here.
And I'm Jonathan Scott, reminding you that life's better with a home policy from American Family Insurance. They can help you get just the right protection at just the right price and help you save when you bundle home and auto. Kind of like Goldilocks and the Three Bears. It'll be just right for you. We love a custom build. American Family Insurance. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.